News and Views by John B. Hughes, presented by the makers of Aspartame. This is another in a series of coast-to-coast broadcasts by this well-known commentator. The instant a headache strikes, the way to get extra fast relief is take aspartame, aspirin plus. For aspartame contains double ingredients. Not only aspirin, but a plus ingredient, an extra fast-acting pain-relieving ingredient that many doctors recommend. And that's why we say aspartame is aspirin plus. And that's why the extra fast headache relief it brings is wonderful to experience. So, for your own sake, try it. A full box of 12 tablets costs only 10 cents at all stores. Ask for Aspertame. Aspartame. Now, John B. Hughes.
How do you do? The war news from Europe today doesn't give us any too much to go on in trying to evaluate the possible results. Germany says everything is proceeding on schedule in her campaign against Russia. And with this official comment, there are many sideline accounts of advances to as great a distance as 125 miles inside the Russian frontier. Certainly one thing becomes clear. The German panzer divisions can move their machines fast and far across the flat, hard plains. And by this swift action, there seems a chance of grabbing quickly that valuable part of Russia. That is, the immediately valuable part that can provide food and oil for Hitler's Europe. And then stand in occupation while a disorganized Russian army tries to put itself together again. Meanwhile, there is the inevitable possibility of a Russian political collapse. Russia's ability to take it is an even greater mystery than the quality of her huge army. I'm referring, of course, to Russia as a governmental unit. Certainly, the Kulaks can take it, or have been taking it for generations. The very symbol of peasantry, they've taken the iron heel of the Tsarist rule, they've taken the hot lead of revolutionary anarchy, and they've taken the cold steel of political regimentation. They probably can take it in stride, this slight change that would be brought by conquest and slavery to foreign overlords. But can the political structure of Russia stand up under the first fury of onslaught which the Nazi invasion will impose? If not, if the proletarian conception of self-rule crumbles into the chaos of anarchy, the Russian chance to resist the Nazi aggression will be shattered too. Anyone who saw Russia in the few years following that bloody October of 1917 knows how horrible and uncontrollable a thing that chaos can be. How futile it would be against the efficiently organized force which the Nazis have displayed in their machine of destruction. Of course, there are those who say that Russia's remade army now has discipline, and that there is unity of the nation in industry and communications for the support of that army. But these are the problems which remain to be proved. Today, Adolf Hitler has moved into the field to take personal command of his eastern drive. The drive to the east, which has been the dream of the German leadership since long before Hitler. Slovakian troops have gone into action against the Soviets. Finland still is not participating. The small Baltic states are in chaos as they throw off their Russian rule. From Germany's western front comes the continual onslaught of the British Royal Air Force, taking every advantage of this opportunity, this distraction to the east, to blast the Channel invasion bases and the German war production in Western Europe. In the Middle East, the British and Allies are following up their occupation of Damascus, Syria, with a drive down the road to the coast, to the city of Beirut. In the Far East, Japan remains in a state of suspended animation. The cabinet meeting today resulted in no official statement or comment on the turn of events which leaves Japan for the time being disconnected from her active parents. The cabinet attitude was described by unofficial spokesmen as one of clear self-interest. The attitude was expressed in this way. Despite the war in Europe, and regardless of whether it spreads into the Orient, Japan will exert every effort, including military, to protect itself and the new order of Greater East Asia. And Japan's position is necessarily one of delay right now, although she will rush preparations for her next projected move. If Germany should be stopped by Russia, that is, held into a longer conflict than the Nazis have planned and have told the Japanese about, then Japan would find her Axis connection even more useless than it has been before. Then the Japanese military leadership would be compelled to take new military action to prevent their own overthrow by the people of Japan, who are not at all pleased with the Axis connection. If Russia goes down, Japan gains economic benefits and political prestige for her New Order program and will be able to move ahead in its establishment. Foreign Minister Matsuoka told Japanese newsmen today that the clash between Germany and Russia is no surprise. When interviewed at his home, Mr. Matsuoka had no further comment than that. When asked about Japanese policy, Matsuoka pointed to a scroll on the wall. The scroll said, "Fallen leaves gather in the east when the wind blows from the west." It's not likely that Matsuoka was suggesting Japan as the fallen leaf, but rather that China and the Mongolian and Siberian states of the Soviet Union are the fallen leaves which Japan may be able to gather and press in her album of the Greater Asia New Order. One item of military news not yet permitted the Trans-Pacific News cables concerns Japan's first actual war use of parachute troops. The Navy announced that a Chinese air base at Tien Shui had been taken by airborne troops carried by naval planes dropped by parachute at the Chinese base. The significance is clear, for invasion from the sea will be necessary in the program of southern aggression for Japan's new order in the South Pacific. And now, a moment with Tony Lafrano.
Now, if you want really fast relief when you have a headache, I urge you to try the remarkable preparation called aspartame. For aspartame is aspirin plus, a truly amazing preparation that thousands say gives them the fastest headache relief they have ever experienced. And the reason it works so fast is simply this. Aspartame contains, in addition to regular aspirin, a plus ingredient, an extra fast-acting pain-relieving ingredient that many doctors recommend. Thus, with aspartame, you get double ingredients, double action, extra fast relief. It's simply amazing what it does. Yet aspartame costs no more than ordinary aspirin alone, actually less than a penny a tablet. The handy 12-tablet tin is only a dime at all stores. So, if quick, effective relief from a headache is what you want, for your own sake, get aspartame at once. Take a tablet and see how fast you feel better. You'll say it's wonderful. Remember the name, A-S-P-E-R-T-A-N-E. Aspartame. Aspirin plus. Try it now. It's only 10 cents. Now, here is John B. Hughes.
In Washington, D.C. this morning, Congress is puzzled over the problem of whether or not to send least lend aid to Russia. However, it appears that congressional reaction is developing, as might be expected. Administration foreign policy supporters are for giving aid if Russia wants it. The anti-interventionists are against it. The Senate Military Affairs Committee is considering two proposals, one giving the president unlimited power to seize property, the other granting him modified property seizure power, which the War Department wants in an effort to speed up defense production. Farmers may enjoy their most prosperous year since the Depression if the Senate approves the now pending Farm Appropriation Bill, which will bring over $1 billion in aid to 30 million people. Local selective service boards throughout the nation have been told to make their own decisions in cases of selectees 28 years old or older who are now eligible for service but who may be deferred in a few weeks under modification of the Draft Act. In Washington, Leon Henderson, head of the Office of Production Management of Price Administration and Civilian Supply, today moved to freeze prices on furniture and refrigerators, warning that increases might lead to inflation. The Army has announced that America's land, sea, and air forces are being knit into more highly coordinated combat teams during the important preparations for national defense. While the talk of a gas shortage on the East Coast continues, the supply of oil is accumulating for lack of transportation along the Gulf Coast. The Far West today is watching with a good deal of interest the newest developments in the San Francisco Bay Area shipyard strike, which has hampered progress on $500 million worth of cruisers, destroyers, and cargo vessels needed in the national defense program. Yesterday, the United States Navy announced action in the strike, which may have far-reaching effects on the course of future strikes in defense industries. Before the Navy acted through the office of Rear Admiral J.W. Greenslade, 12th Naval District Commandant, the strike situation had reached an impasse. The irresistible force of Union demands had met the immovable object of management denial. As I've explained before, the San Francisco Bay Area machinists were asking wages of $1.15 an hour and double time for overtime. The Coastwide Master Contract for the shipbuilding industry sets the machinist's wage scale at $1.12 an hour and time and a half for overtime. However, the machinists in the San Francisco Bay Area have been receiving double time for overtime for the past 23 years. It was a working condition established as a custom, one which the machinists quite naturally did not want to give up. The FFL machinists in San Francisco did not ratify the Coastwide Master Stabilization Contract. The CIO machinists in the East Bay Area were not invited to participate in the drawing up of that contract. The Bethlehem Shipbuilding Company did not take part in formulating the Coastwide contract. These three, the two machinists groups and the company, have been most prominently concerned in the present strike. It's been a situation which could have been avoided had Bethlehem been called on by the government to join in the industry-wide stabilization contract negotiations from the beginning. Both the Navy Department and the Office of Production Management helped formulate that contract. At the same time, more consideration should have been given by all parties concerned to the fact that certain working conditions for machinists prevailed in the area. And thus far on the defense program, there's been no appeal to American workers to sacrifice established conditions. So far, there's been no need to make such an appeal. Last week, the AFL machinists in San Francisco refused to comply with a back-to-work appeal from their international president, Harvey Brown, on the ground that they had already voted four times to remain on strike until their demands were met. It was agreed, however, that if the Bethlehem Shipbuilding Yard accepted the proposal of the Defense Mediation Board to sign a closed shop contract in accord with the terms of the Coastwide Master Contract, the situation would be changed, and the machinists would vote again. Bethlehem San Francisco Yard referred the matter to the Bethlehem Home Office in the East. Yesterday, Rear Admiral Greenslade announced he was holding meetings to bring the matter to a head. The 12th District Commandant conferred with city officials who promised any sort of police action or protection he might require. Then Rear Admiral Greenslade conferred with business agents of the striking union and was told that the union could not accept his back-to-work proposal, just as they had refused to comply with a request from the president on grounds which they fully outlined. It was indicated that the Rear Admiral would not confer with the shipyard managers because of the union's stand. A short time later, the Rear Admiral announced plans to blanket in, under civil service, any machinists who wanted to work in the yard. The Rear Admiral had the promise of city authorities to help disperse the picket lines which the machinists have maintained around the yard and through which the Navy already has led other members of the Metal Craft Council in a back-to-work movement. Immediately after the Rear Admiral's announcement, a little too immediately, according to some observers, the Bethlehem plant announced that it would sign the closed shop agreement. Had the announcement been made yesterday morning, Rear Admiral Greenslade might have received a much different answer from the union agents. But when the Bethlehem announcement was made, the civil service proposal already had been made. A proposal which the CIO secretary referred to as a club to force the men back to work. This morning, the AFL Machinists Union withdrew all its tickets. The Navy opened civil service registration booths at the Bethlehem plant. The obstacle of Bethlehem's refusal to sign the closed shop contract is removed. But the machinists signing up for civil service will work on a wage scale ranging from $1 to $1.12 an hour, time and a half for overtime, double time on holidays. And that's all for now. Here again is Tony Lozano.
Remember, if you have a headache or the pains of neuritis or neuralgia and want extra fast relief, the preparation to take is aspartame, aspirin plus, the remarkable development of science that is amazing thousands who try it. You see, aspartame contains double ingredients, regular aspirin plus an extra fast-acting pain-relieving agent that many doctors recommend. And it's these double ingredients that give the double action, extra fast relief you feel that is truly remarkable to experience. So try aspartame today. It costs no more than ordinary aspirin alone, actually less than a penny a tablet. For the handy 12-tablet box is only 10 cents at all stores. But when you try it for a headache, you'll feel the effect of its extra quick relief in an amazingly short time. You'll say it's the finest thing you have ever used. Remember, the name is A-S-P-E-R-T-A-N-E, Aspartame, Aspirin Plus, and all stores have it for only 10 cents a box. Try it today. News and Views by John B. Hughes will be back on the air again at the same time tomorrow. The opinions expressed by John B. Hughes on this program are his own and do not necessarily reflect those of the sponsor or this station. This is Tony Lofrano speaking for the makers of Aspartame. Every woman who wants her teeth and smile to look their best should try Colonos, the dry brush toothpaste. Colonos acts like a jeweler's polish to erase common surface stains and help reveal the fascinating natural gleaming color of your teeth hidden underneath these stains. Try Colonos on a dry brush. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.